AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. It's fantasy football season around here as we head toward week two. Davis and I will answer some questions in terms of injuries and perhaps get you ready for another exciting week, Davis. And naturally, it is Wednesday, so a lot of people are getting ready to make their waiver wire selections. We went over that yesterday. People can catch that, of course, on demand. And also, we march forward toward week two, which definitely seems intriguing, to say the least.
We do. We march forward. I pretty much spent all morning putting my waiver claims in. Lots of Jordan Mason bids, lots of Jeff Wilson Jr. bids, you know, a little bit of Kyle Phillips, a little bit of Sterling Shepard. Not really that exciting of a week one waiver wire. You know, normally there's at least kind of one game-breaking sort of injury. You know, nothing really exciting, though, about, you know, putting in a bid on Cooper Rush in a super flex league. Nothing that's really changed the context of fantasy football has happened quite yet, to my estimation.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the league that I'm in. It's a 12-team league this morning for the same thing. I really didn't find anyone that I was interested in putting a massive or even a small bid on. You always have to play preemptive with this stuff, but I just didn't see anyone that I was really interested in. If Najee Harris was hurt, I think that was a game changer because I don't think a lot of people rostered his backup. But beyond that, didn't really see a lot. So let's start with our headlines here in the NFL. The top story of the day is it looks like Dak Prescott's going to miss a month instead of two. This is according yesterday to Jerry Jones. Who knows if that really is the case, but they have not added anyone. And on top of that, they have not placed him on IR. So we will see. Iowa is sticking with their quarterback. They've had a really hard time on offense. Spencer Petras, despite throwing zero touchdown passes on the season. Aaron Judge homered twice yesterday for the Yankees as he chases 61. Mike Trout did not homer, so his streak comes to the end. And Suns owner is suspended for a year and fined $10 million. And he also owns the Phoenix Mercury as well, so he is not going to be around for a year. So, look, I guess we can kind of go back to the NFL and start here with Dallas. And I know that that's been a hot topic of discussion. Davis, do you think that the Cowboys are playing this coy here a little bit? Because in general, Cowboys injuries in particular, Davis, have sometimes been of the longer kind than the shorter kind. You know how it works in the NFL. It's doom and gloom initially. The guy's out for the year. Then he's out for 8 weeks. Then he comes back in two. That happens a lot. But with Dallas, it actually seems to be the opposite. At least that's how they've played it with Prescott.
I got to be honest. I do not love the idea of rushing Dak Prescott back from this injury. Mostly because the offense looked bad when Dak was in there anyways. I mean, we saw what happened on the opposite side of that game. Chris Godwin came back too early from his injury, immediate compensation injury. And I wonder if, by the way, if that's a little bit of a cautionary tale for the Cowboys with Michael Gallup, who had the exact same injury as Chris Godwin, did not play in that week one game. The coaching staff was saying, oh, you know, Mike, he wants to play. If this was a playoff game, he would be able to go, yada, yada. And I think they just got to be conservative. Honestly, the smartest thing for the Cowboys to do would kind of just treat this like a lost season. They lost an offensive lineman in the preseason. They traded Amari Cooper away for nothing. They're not going to do this, but theoretically they can get off Ezekiel Elliott's contract this offseason. Like it would be a very smart thing for them to do to kind of press the reset button. Now, obviously this is the Dallas Cowboys. They're not going to do that. The second that Dak Prescott gets feeling back in his hand, he's going to play, right? I think Jerry Jones is telling the truth about this. I think that literally the second that the trainers clear Dak from doing any further damage, he's going to be back in there. The team is going to stink. They are not going to win any games with Cooper Rush as their quarterback. The Cowboys have the lowest team total on the slate this week, even lower than the New York Jets, as they should. Wow. They're bad. Cooper Rush, really bad. But Dak is as soon as he can get back, he's going to be back.
Yeah, no, it does make sense here. Let's go to baseball here real quick. So Trout did not hit a home run, but Aaron Judge ended up hitting two. We've seen, Davis, surprisingly, a lot of groundswell for no matter what Judge is doing for Ohtani winning the MVP. A lot of the writers are seemingly saying, hey, look, it just doesn't matter to us what Judge does. We're still going to vote for Ohtani. It's a polarizing topic. I think Judge is going to win, and I think he's going to hit 61, and it's going to be really hard for a lot of voters to not vote for him. But we are seeing that. Some smart people saying, hey, look, it just doesn't matter as long as Ohtani's in the league. I'm happy to actually see that recently, too.
Yeah, I mean, we had CC Sabathia was saying this on TV yesterday. Judge is going to win. Judge is definitely going to win if he gets to 61, right? I think he's going to win either way. And it is inaccurate. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is the most valuable player in baseball. He is one of the 10 best pitchers in the American League. One of the, I'll give him like eighth or so best hitters in the American League. Like it truly, he is the most valuable player. Do I begrudge Aaron Judge? No. If the Angels, by the way, if the Angels were in a playoff spot, Ohtani would be running away with this though. Even with the Judge home runs, I think.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But, you know, obviously a huge favorite Judges on FanDuel to win the MVP. But we will see. Coming down to the stretch, Dylan Cease, actually the new favorite.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
favorite to win the Cy Young in the American League over Justin Verlander. So that flipped over the last week or so. All right, coming up next, let's take a look at some discussion that is hot for fantasy surrounding injuries, especially the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You would figure the Buccaneers are going to score more than 19 points moving forward in games. And so naturally, there's a lot of offense there. Also, you may need a streaming option at quarterback. For example, if you had Dak Prescott this past week and you're looking for somebody else to play, we'll dive into that as well. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As long as Tom Brady is quarterbacking somewhere in the NFL, there'll be a lot of fantasy options on the team that he is playing for. We saw it in New England. We've seen it with Tampa Bay. But there is one less option going into this week. Of course, that looks like it's going to be Chris Godwin, although there's been no injury designation as of yet. He left last week's game and did not return. Let's hear from Dr. David Chow on when we possibly could see Godwin again.
What is Chris Godwin's status for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? This is Dr. David Chow, SICScore.com, Sports Injury Central. Chris Godwin has made a fantastic return to the NFL. He started, but remember, he still wasn't 100%. He played well early in the game. Tampa Bay targeted him early, and now he's out with a hamstring. Because he was not 100% to begin with, because now with the hamstring, we feel like the panel of doctors at Sports Injury Central that he may not be back the month of September. We have to look and see the severity of the hamstring. But let's factor things in here. It made sense to go with him with the first play of the game. He's been non-contact all of training camp, just got out of his knee brace. They throw him a simple wide receiver screen. No surprise, he can run straight ahead, and he gained 24 yards. But I was surprised at how much they utilized him when he wasn't 100%, and acclimation and compensation injuries are real. On his third catch, maybe blame Tom Brady, I'm kidding, low pass, reaches, protects his knee, strains his hamstring, and limps off in the second quarter. Obviously, prop unders and what have you. The problem here now is it's one thing to compensate through one injury, his ACL, where his knee's not 100%. Now to compensate through the knee and hamstring will be very difficult. So even with the mild hamstring, I think we will not see Chris Godwin for sure in week two. And I think it would be optimistic to think that he'll be back before October. And in some ways, it's a blessing in disguise. They have Julio Jones. Mike Evans is a beast. Wait till Chris Godwin gets healthier, not just from the hamstring, but his knee. It'll provide more effect, more power, and less chance of setback. So overall, the news for Godwin's still good. In some ways, his hamstring strain might be the best thing to happen to him. This is Dr. David Chow, Sports Injury Central. Thanks for watching.
Dr. Chow essentially, Davis, saying Godwin out this week, and then we'll just kind of see moving forward. October, by the way, is only a couple weeks away, so he could be back soon. But that's obviously a very key injury. I think it was funny, Davis, we talked about this where I had a chance of taking Godwin in my fantasy draft, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I just didn't and pivoted elsewhere. And I think that just shows you the luck of the draw in fantasy, because Godwin, if healthy, could have really proved much better ADP based on his draft pick situation, but clearly wasn't 100% healthy going in.
Yeah, I mean, the first Buccaneers play from scrimmage was a pass to Chris Godwin. I think he gained 25 yards on that play. Looks pretty healthy. Looked, I mean, I think probably had Chris Godwin had a 100% clean bill of health, was not coming off the knee injury, I think he probably would have been a second round pick. That's right about where Mike Evans was going, tail end of the second round, beginning of the third round. And Godwin is, you know, going to be the more consistent role. Mike Evans, you know, he's going to score his double digit touchdowns, but is not as consistent of a yardage producer. You know, I could see the Godwin thing going both ways. I could see if you have him, maybe you started out 0-1, maybe you have some other injuries, you know, maybe Dak was your quarterback, maybe you took CeeDee Lamb and now it looks like he's catching passes from Cooper Rush. I could see trading Godwin for a better asset right now who's going to score points. Mm-hmm. Or if you started out strong, scored a bunch of points week one, you're not dealing with other injuries, I could also see trading for Chris Godwin and just waiting a couple weeks for his hamstring to heal. You know, it kind of depends on the situation your team is in.
Yeah, no, both make sense for sure. So that being said, let's take a look at some of the options without Godwin that the Buccaneers have. Naturally, Mike Evans is owned in every fantasy league, so that's really not even worth a discussion. Russell Gage, probably owned, and I would say the same for Julio Jones. And then naturally, remember Breshad Perriman, who is back again with Tampa Bay, and then Scotty Miller. But I think the pivot for most Davis this week feels like Julio Jones. And in watching that game, I did recall seeing him run down the field, catch a pass, and then and it was a long pass, and then immediately put the finger up to come out of the game, which seems like I've been watching this with Julio Jones for I don't know how many years. He's headed to the Hall of Fame, but he's now in a position that I don't think we thought he would be, Davis, which is essentially kind of counted on, I think, moving forward. When he was counted on last year, that did not go well. So what do you make of Tampa Bay's offensive threats going forward? I mean, could Gronk come back at this point? I mean, I guess anything can't be ruled out.
Yeah, I don't think Gronk is coming back. I think the time for him to come back would have been in training camp when Russell Gage got hurt. Russell Gage played like a really bit part there. You know, they're signing Kyle Rudolph. It's, you know, they were playing two rookie tight ends, one fourth rounder, one undrafted free agent over Kyle Rudolph. Cam Brate was out there running routes. I got to say, though, Julio Jones looked pretty dang spry to me. Five targets, but probably the most incredible thing that happened was watching 33-year-old Julio Jones take an end around. I mean, that I do not remember Julio Jones doing that since he was like a 23-year-old with Atlanta. And by the way, got a first down on both of his end arounds, was able to gain, I think he got over 8 yards on both of his carries. Looked pretty good to me. They are definitely going to need him. And it might work out, honestly, for both drafters of Julio Jones and Chris Godwin, where, you know, Julio, he's going to get hurt, right? He's going to tweak his ankle. He's going to pull his hammy. He's going to do something. But if he gives you a month, 5 weeks of like really strong wide receiver two production for Tampa Bay, you're going to be feeling great about that pick. And then by the time that he's headed to his, you know, his weekly trip or his yearly trip to the IR, then Chris Godwin will be back. And really the biggest question is just like the Buccaneers offensive line, because Brady looked brutal. The offensive line looked brutal. They were taking all those sacks on third down. So that is, I think, the biggest thing they're going to have to solve.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Julio's been hurt 3 years in a row, so you're probably right about that. But hey, ride it while you can. All right, now in terms of quarterback, Dak Prescott's out, so naturally there's some people that are going to be going to the waiver wire this week, and here are some potential streaming options in 12 or 14 team leagues. Carson Wentz against the Lions, and the Lions defense does not look great. Justin Fields of the Bears also didn't look great, but oh, look, let's be honest, neither did the Packers. So who knows? Maybe there's a matchup there. And then you have Jameis Winston playing against his former team in Tampa Bay. A little bit unpredictable naturally there. Tampa Bay's defense probably, I would say, going to be better than Atlanta's going into this week.
Yeah, I mean, I am definitely locked in, and I can't believe I'm saying these words. I am locked in on Carson Wentz as a streaming option against Detroit. Detroit's defense, quite bad. Their offense, though, I mean, 30 points last week, right? And they were pretty aggressive, throwing the ball down the field. Bunch of air yards for DJ Chark. DeAndre Swift looked good. Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like a real stud. Washington's defense was like, they were fine against Jacksonville. You know, nothing outstanding. So I think that could be a game that ends up having some points scored. And Carson Wentz threw six passes that traveled more than 20 yards down the field. I think Wentz, like, for example, in one league, I'm starting Wentz over Tom Brady this week. I think he is a really strong streaming option.
All right, so there you have it. Wentz in play this week against Detroit, Justin Fields against Green Bay, Jameis Winston against Tampa Bay. I'm actually in a league where I have Dak and played him, lost by 1 point. Imagine that, Davis, last week. And fortunately, I have Trevor Lawrence, so I think that's my pivot for me this week. In my dynasty, I have Lawrence, so I'm going to suit him up this week. I actually like Jacksonville this week against Indianapolis. I really do think that they got a shot to win that.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
Game this week. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into more fantasy football talk, as we get you ready for the upcoming week and actually some fantasy or reality here on the grid as well. So stay with us as we continue on here on the show, right here on Sports Grid. Look away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock, as we get ready for Fantasy Football Week number 2 here on the show. Naturally, there's going to be some overreaction to some things that happened this past week. And Davis, I think we can all agree that as we start off talking about the Dallas Cowboys, it looks a little dire, at least for the time being. You know, the first half of their game did not go well against Tampa Bay. Last year, we sat here, and you and I both extremely excited about rookie CeeDee Lamb. Drafted Lamb everywhere I had him. You know, looked fantastic when he was on the field. And, you know, had some injury issues and, you know, sort of limped a little bit, I think, to the finish. But, you know, expected a big boost, I think, in production, especially with not a lot of receivers around him this year. But that has fallen now completely flat going into this week. So I guess the question for CeeDee Lamb, Davis, is would you start him? Would you sit him? Would you trade him? Where do you go right now?
I mean, I would definitely look to trade him to someone that you know, doesn't necessarily realize how dire the circumstances have gotten. Now, to be fair, if we want to look at Cooper Rush's lone start in the NFL against the Minnesota Vikings, CeeDee Lamb did have a pretty strong game there. He had 6 receptions for 111 yards. Amari Cooper in that game had 8 receptions for 122 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, I think Cooper Rush is quite bad, and I think that the Dallas offense is going to be very bad. I think they're really going to struggle. The offensive line is poor. As I mentioned, they have the lowest team total here in week 2, even lower than the New York Footballing Jets. If you could get a strong, you know, running back, like, for example, I would trade CeeDee Lamb for Daryl Henderson right now, you know, because I probably need a running back on a lot of my teams. And I think Daryl Henderson is in a great spot the next couple weeks. If you have CeeDee Lamb, you probably started out 0-1 because he did nothing in week 1 and you spent your first or your second round pick on him. You definitely don't want to go in that 0-2 tombstone. And it's not as if they didn't try to get the ball to CeeDee Lamb. You know, he had 11 targets, a 29% target share in that first game, but only 2 receptions. The offense just seemed out of sync. Maybe the coach, you know, maybe Kellen Moore really dials up some of his best work this week, but I don't want CeeDee Lamb on my fantasy teams at this point. And for one league where I do have him, no trading, the FFPC main event, we took Lamb in the second round. We are benching him for Terry McLaurin against the Lions this week. Just an example of where I view Lamb at right now.
Yeah, really, really tough for Dallas moving forward. We'll see what happens this week. That'll give us a better idea for sure. All right, now, Allen Robinson had a very quiet week for the Rams in week 1. And that was the big freak out last Thursday night. I guess Cam Akers was the bigger freak out, but Allen Robinson was right there. Not really for the yards or the receptions, Davis, but they were playing from behind. This guy only got two targets, all of last week. And, you know, we were sort of being told that this was going to be a better situation than even what Robert Woods had in the past there. That did not turn out to be the case. He's probably not going to be started by anybody in fantasy this week, but would you trade him? I don't think you can waive him. What are the options here?
No, I definitely wouldn't drop him. I mean, things should be easier for the Buffalo Bills this week. They or for the Los Angeles Rams. They went from paying the Buffalo Bills. They have a super easy matchup this week. They have the highest team total. Their team total is actually 30.5. Don't know if I've seen a ton of 30.5 team totals. So feels pretty good for them against the Atlanta Falcons this week. I know the Falcons have good cornerbacks. Did not seem to matter for Michael Thomas or Jarvis Landry last week because the team can't generate any pass rush. And, you know, it's not as if Allen Robinson was looking like a statue out there. I don't think this is like a Kenny Galladay situation. It's just that the offensive line kept getting cratered and there was no time for Matt Stafford to make it to Allen Robinson. That's why Tyler Higbee had such a strong game in terms of offensive involvement because he was closer to the line of scrimmage. Now, obviously, I do think we are definitely going to see him take a backseat to Cooper Kupp. You know, maybe there was some chance that Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson drew closer in target share in a way that Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp used to be, right? 2-3 years ago, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp very close in target share. That's not happening, right? Cooper Kupp is going to maintain his 29, 30, 31% target share. I would maybe if he has another weak game, you know, if he goes 4 for 40 in this game or something like that, I would maybe try to send some trade offers out for him, mostly because I just think Sean McVay is a very good coach and he's going to figure out a way to use this guy he's paying all this money to and that they gave up assets for. And I also think Matt Stafford is quite a good quarterback, you know, much better than the market thinks of him. But he's a tough start this week, right? I mean, like, just it is hard to click the button on a guy who just had one reception. Like, it's very hard.
No, it is. I don't think people should start him. But again, that could change immediately after this week. I don't have a good feel for the Rams after watching that game, that's for sure. All right, well, Devin Duvernay last week took the Malcolm Brown role and made the most of it for sure, Davis. He caught 4 receptions, 54 yards, 2 touchdowns on 4 targets. Hollywood Brown was great in this position for Baltimore last year. Is Devin Duvernay that guy now for the Ravens moving forward?
No, I don't think that he is. He only ran a route on 51% of the team's dropbacks. I also would anticipate them being less of a throwing team. I mean, that was maybe one of the more bizarre things about this game against the New York Jets is you see the Ravens as a touchdown favorite against a crappy team, and you just assume, okay, Lamar's running for 70 yards, and 4 of the running backs are all going to get in there and get touches. That's not what happened. Lamar only ran 6 times for 17 yards. Kenyon Drake, I think, only got 8 carries. Mike Davis got 2. Justice Hill got in there for 1. Bateman scored a long touchdown. But Duvernay, like I said, only ran a route on 51% of the dropbacks. That's not going to get it done, especially in a pretty low volume passing offense. I actually would be more interested in maybe trying to acquire Isaiah Likely because Nick Boyle did not play last week, the Ravens' normal blocking tight end, and Likely got 3 targets, did not secure any of them, but actually ran the same amount of routes as Devin Duvernay. And I mean, just finding the tight end position is so bad in fantasy football right now. Like, true story, Andrew Beck with his 2 for 53 last week was a top 12 fantasy tight end. Like, that's how bad the position was. So Likely, I actually think, is quite interesting.
All right, so speaking of tight ends, I mean, Dawson Knox in the end, Davis, is going to get his. We just don't know when that's going to be. He's coming off an awful game in a game where Buffalo dominated last week, too. So I guess that's the upsetting thing. But I just don't recall a season. I guess every season is probably like this, and I'm just living in the moment. But it just felt like across the board tight ends were a bust. And that's going to even itself out a little bit. And so whether you're trading Dawson Knox, starting or sitting, I mean, isn't this just a matter of ignoring what happened last week and putting him back in there? You probably don't have a better option than him.
No, I mean, this is like what Dawson Knox is going to do. He played 86% of the snaps. They do not have a backup tight end to use over. You know, they cut O.J. Howard. Their backup tight ends are Tommy Sweeney and Quentin Morris, who are blockers only. I mean, those guys are basically just right tackles out there. Knox ran a ton of routes, wasn't losing snaps. You know, they didn't play a ton of empty personnel. I think part of the reason why he didn't get used very much last week was they were up, you know, that entire second half. So the team kind of trended down in terms of throwing the ball. Knox is just one of those guys who's like, is he a special talent? You know, is this a guy who's going to make these crazy leaping acrobatic catches? Does he run these amazing routes? Absolutely not. But if you're a guy who's out there for 85, 90% of the snaps for the offense, who might lead the NFL in points scored, you're probably going to be a pretty good pick in fantasy football again, because the expectation for points amongst tight ends is just so low.
Now, the fascinating name that we're going to close out on here is maybe a name that gets a boost from the injury to Dak Prescott, because if I'm not mistaken, this is how it all started for Dalton Schultz when 2 years ago, I believe, when Dak got hurt. Wasn't it Dalton or someone else that came in, or DiNucci? I can't remember. But then all of a sudden we learned who he was, because Blake Jarwin got hurt, Schultz came in, and he was like a monster the rest of the season. He had 7 receptions for 62 yards, and in an offense that's going to struggle, dare I say, I mean, Schultz was already a top 12 tight end in fantasy, Davis. I think it's probably a must start going forward, no?
I you know what? Honestly, I think he probably is the Cowboy I would most like to have right now. He played 100% of the snaps against the Buccaneers, did not leave the field on the Cowboys' offensive plays. You know, they don't really have a third wide receiver right now that they like, because their third-round rookie, Jalen Tolbert, just not ready to go. He was a healthy scratch on that Sunday night game against the Buccaneers, and Schultz got 9 targets, caught 7 of them. Is the offense going to have a lot of touchdowns? You know, is there a huge, like, is Dalton Schultz going to have 11 touchdowns this year? No, but could he have more receptions than George Kittle and Darren Waller? Absolutely. I think Schultz is actually, this version of him is kind of like Kyle Pitts, but just without the downfield receiving. Like, Pitts is going to have some games with 180 yards or something because he catches 2 balls deep down the field, but it's high volume offense or high volume role in a bad offense. And, like, I don't, you know, especially in tight end premium leagues where you get the 1.5 points per reception, Schultz is probably like a really good option the next couple weeks.
Yeah, no, I think so. And again, that's the dynamic of the quarterback the quarterback goes down, and then all of a sudden, you know, backup comes in, starts throwing to the tight end. It's only natural to consider that and think that. So those are some options for you this week. Start, sit, maybe even trade. We'll do this each week here on the show based on the performances of the previous week. Of course, tomorrow night, the NFL is back. One game on Prime TV. It will be the Chargers and Chiefs. And on tomorrow's show, we'll dive in and do a deeper DFS preview of that game and then get you started for week 2 of the upcoming fantasy football season. But coming up next, it's time for us to take a break, and then we'll be back with some fantasy or reality here on the show. We'll dive into the Steelers running back situation and also talk a little bit about the Cleveland Browns. So stay on the grid for that, as Davis and I will be right back in just a couple of minutes here on this Wednesday edition of the show. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and we're back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more right after this. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Social media is a great spot to follow us, especially if you have Twitter. If you don't download it, it's completely free. At Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, fantasy content, of course, from our show and all of the rest of our programming here on Sports Grid. So make sure you download Twitter and follow us at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV, also at Craig Mish. And at Davis Maddock. And I know, Davis, you're looking forward to another big week here in fantasy football. I know, you know, for me, it did not go well. You know, had a monster week in both leagues, just played against the wrong person. But I got to tell you, I'm feeling much better about this week. I feel good. My team scored a lot of points. How can I feel bad about that?
Can't feel bad about that. I mean, look, you know, I have so many fantasy football teams, it is impossible to tell. Am I in a good spot? Am I in a bad spot? You know, pretty much I am just waiting to get to week 17 and figure out, am I going to make money or am I going to lose money on the year? I would let's say we got Thursday Night Football game. It's about as big as it gets. I mean, this is a huge game for the division. Like, if the Chargers win this game, there's going to be a huge swing in terms of playoff odds, Super Bowl odds. If the Chiefs win this game, it's gonna be even bigger. One of the things I'm really tracking this year is the MVP market. You know, what happens every single week between Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert? Because I think there's no chance that Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP again this year, and he's sucking a lot of the bet equity out of that market. So I think there's going to be a profitable way to trade the MVP this year. And if Herbert wins this game, he's going to jump ahead of Mahomes. If Mahomes wins this game, I think he ends up getting about tied with Allen right now for MVP.
Yeah, I think those are the big names that are at the top, no doubt. All right, let's kick it over. It's time for us to do a little fantasy or reality. All right, we got good news yesterday on Najee Harris, although we know that he's been dealing with some sort of foot injury now for a few weeks, Davis. But he says he's good to go and he's going to play this week. That remains to be seen. We've seen this before with players. They say they're going to play. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So let's speculate a little bit and get into his potential backup this week. Benny Snell didn't play at all. So it looks like Jaylen Warren is the possibility to get more snaps, more carries, maybe even more touchdowns than Najee Harris. Fantasy reality, we'll start there. Davis, Jaylen Warren will have more fantasy points this week than Najee Harris.
Yeah, this is a fantasy for this week. You know, if Najee Harris, like Najee Harris is like the Black Knight from the Monty Python, movie. You know, it's just a flesh wound. So he's got the Liz Frank injury that he mentions in the preseason. He suffers an ankle injury this last week. He leaves the stadium in a walking boot. Honestly, it's kind of similar to like how Ezekiel Elliott, he's like, look, man, I'm not missing a game because when I miss a game, Tony Pollard looks so good. I want to get all these stuff. And like, obviously Najee is still quite a good player. But Jaylen Warren absolutely has to be rostered in every 12 team fantasy league right now, maybe even honestly 10 team leagues, because he is clearly leapt ahead of Benny Snell on the roster. They cut Jalen Samuels, they cut Anthony McFarland, they only have three running backs on their roster. Snell, even, you know, a clutch and important overtime game last week, Snell does not get on the field. How often do you see an undrafted free agent come in and immediately be trusted in an overtime game? Like, I literally cannot think of one other example of a guy being thrust into that position. Mike Tomlin had some complimentary things to say about him at his press conference yesterday. So I think Jaylen Warren is, you know, if we were drafting again today, I think he goes up into the Rashad White, Alexander Mattison group of handcuff guys. Like I think he absolutely needs to be on. But Najee Harris will get more points than him this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. So fantasy for me as well, but I agree with Davis' sentiment for sure. Probably top 10 round pick in fantasy football right now if you started over today. Harris has been very healthy, healthy at Alabama, and, you know, certainly healthy, of course, when he played for the Steelers last year. But anything can happen in fantasy football. We know that. And if you're a Najee owner this week on the waiver wire, you better put 10, 20% on this guy's name this week when you're bidding for players, because you may need him at some point. So total agreement with you. I'm going to try and pick him up this week if I can for a low amount, probably like a buck or two. I'll get outbid, but that's fine. Got to enforce that for sure. All right, now let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. They're putting that cute little elf in the middle of the field, Davis. I don't know if you saw the picture of this. I mean, this was sort of stunning. I did this yesterday on Newswire. Looks a little like the Keebler elf, to be honest with you. I get hungry. I want to eat some you know, Vienna fingers or something like that, Davis. But the Browns' new field design, as you see there on your screen, is the best in the NFL.
No, this is definitely a fantasy. I think this is horrible. I mean, one, I am a fan of like minimalist designs as it pertains to team logos, to field design. Like, you don't want too many logos on a field in general. Like what we like Soldier Field. I mean, Soldier Field is ugly, but we like it because it's kind of rough. It's very raw. Like there's just, you know, there's not a lot going on there. What do we don't like the Dallas Cowboys Stadium because it looks like they're playing football in a spaceship. Like, I want my football stadium to look like a football stadium. I want it to be, I mean, you know, some of the best stadiums are the oldest ones, the historic ones. Now, obviously, like, you could take this too far. The Oakland Athletics, you know, O.co is not good, right? Too old, not enough features. Like, that's not great. But I, you know what, Craig, I loved when the Raiders used to play there and the diamond on the infield. Like, I love like little, just little peccadillos like that. You don't want every stadium to look the same, but this is horrible. I mean, I look at this graphic. It is so ugly. That does not evoke anything about football or the Browns. Like, oh, the Browns, I guess, is just a weird team name in general, but no, not a fan. I got fantasy here.
Yeah. This is one of those where I'm always curious, like, to go behind the scenes, Davis, and be a fly on the wall of the people that are having this talk. Like, hey, this would be a good idea, don't you think? And by the way, it requires more than one person agreeing to this too, unless it comes directly from the owner, which I would highly doubt. Yes, when it comes to the NFL specifically, put the logo right in the middle of the field of your team, unless that there's some celebratory thing coming up, like 75th anniversary, 50th anniversary, 20th anniversary. Yes, I get all that stuff. Maybe somebody got in the Hall of Fame. Yes, understood. Opening week, put that in the middle. Playoffs, put that in the middle. I don't care. It's fine. But this thing, like, my gosh, I don't know what this possibly does. I first thought this was a joke. Then I thought maybe this was going to be on Nickelodeon or something like that. But none of the above. So absolutely. Best in the NFL? I mean, maybe the worst. I'm going to go fantasy here, just nonsense. Put the Cleveland Browns logo. Just put the name Browns or put the helmet. That's it. That's all you need for that stuff. All right, let's close it out here. I don't know if you're aware of this, Davis, because, you know, naturally we're doing the show, I think, during the time that Drew Barrymore is on. Drew Barrymore has a TV show every day now. I know because my wife watches it, but I'm not sure when it airs. It's definitely like the daytime, morning-ish variety. And I guess that she was talking about Britney Spears and how in talking to Britney, she's connected with Britney just based on her past, the things that have happened there. And maybe they could become, you know, pretty decent friends here, it seems like, too. So, Davis, fantasy or reality? I think I know the answer to this, unfortunately, already. You are interested in Britney Spears and Drew Barrymore's friendship.
You know, I suppose from like a psychological angle, this is sort of interesting, right? Drew Barrymore was a childhood star. Britney, I think she was in Firestarter. And then Britney Spears, you know, with the Mickey Mouse Club, like she was like child stardom in and of itself is like a psychologically interesting phenomenon where like these people have to develop in the public eye. They kind of have to become adults a little bit earlier. Like pretty much if you're a child star, you kind of have to act like an adult at like 11 years old. Like you can't retain the innocence of youth and all these interviews and everything. And also people will take advantage of you, you know, especially if your parents are, you know, not exactly parents and more like agents or whatever. Like it just totally skews your perception of reality, I would imagine. But am I interested in, Drew Barrymore, I guess, is kind of interesting because she has become like a holistic wellness person. She's very committed to, you know, like saving the oceans and reducing plastic waste and things like that. Like she's done a real 180 in terms of her public persona as a grown up. And then like the Britney Spears thing, like who knows? I mean, she is the Free Britney Spears documentary that the New York Times did that's on Hulu was kind of interesting. And I believe her conservatorship did actually end. I think a judge ruled in her favor relatively recently. But in terms of like, when we get off the air here, am I going to Google and try and get more of the details here? No, I got fantasy on that.
Yeah, fantasy for me here for sure. Look, Drew Barrymore's show has sort of taken off here in a big way. It's you know, I don't know that it's in the Oprah category or the Ellen category, Davis, but it's very popular. So I know that. I know a lot of people are watching it too. The other thing that you could say from a positive angle with anything to do with Drew Barrymore is when you think about it, Davis, deep down, any movie that Drew Barrymore is in is probably not going to be horrible. Like she only tends to do movies that end up being decent. And a lot of them end up being with Adam Sandler, ironically, too. But most of the movies that she's in are like, okay, like she's a watchable actress. I think that is fine. The problem for me is I have no interest in Britney Spears anymore. I feel bad for everything that's happened to her in her life, certainly, but like a friendship between two Stars? Probably not. Unless maybe, you know, Brittany was co-hosting the show or she was on in it in some way. But yeah, I got fantasy. Also, Drew Barrymore's first appearance, I think first appearance, Davis. I don't know if you've seen this movie. I hope you have. Is E.T. That was the first movie that she was.
I have seen E.T. I mean, it's been a long time. That is one of those classic 80 movies that I did see, which I guess is sort of interesting because that loops in with a conversation we had yesterday about Steven Spielberg. That was one of the big Steven Spielberg movies. So, but I have seen E.T. I forgot that she was in it. I mean, I've probably seen E.T. like once. For whatever reason, I don't know why this is. Is E.T.'s not one of those movies that's on cable all the time or wasn't, at least when I had cable, yeah, or maybe it was. Or I guess maybe it just wasn't one that I stopped on. It's like when I see Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, I'm stopping 100% of the time. When I see Empire Strikes Back, I'm stopping 100% of the time. E.T. is not a stop 100% of the time when you see it one for me.
Yeah, I saw E.T. Davis, I'm old. I saw E.T. in the movies. I remember going, I think it was a summer movie. I may have been in camp at the time. But think about a young kid with... You know, I mean, back when technology was completely different, seeing that movie come out, oh my gosh, it was like everybody was freaking out about that movie. And then, spoiler alert, E.T. almost dies, Davis, in the movie. Oh my gosh, the whole theater, I remember, was like crying. It was definitely one of the movies from my childhood, I would say for sure. Okay, so we'll go from ET to the Sports Grid 60. That's what we do next. So stay on the grid with us. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Also, don't forget, coming up at noon, we got Kevin and Donnie right here on Sports Grid. You don't want to go anywhere because the early line is next. Then I will be right back here with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. We do have a few afternoon baseball games going on, so we'll update that. We'll get the latest in sports wagering around the country, of course, our guest contributor from Sporting News. If you've never watched Newswire before, maybe this is your day. 2 o'clock Eastern, right here on this channel on Sports Grid. So keep it with us if you're not going to lunch. If you are going to lunch, hope you have a great day. We're gonna wrap our show up next though with the Sports Grid 60. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. One more reminder, 2 o'clock Eastern. I'm right back here with you on Newswire. Before we leave you for the day, let's turn it over to Davis, see what's on his mind as we close this out with the Sports Grid 60.
Well, I did just want to issue a couple of reminders as people head to the waiver wire this week. The first thing is go to your league software and check if Taysom Hill is eligible at tight end. I'm pretty confident at this point after watching him get his his wildcat snaps last week and scoring the rushing touchdown that you're gonna want him if he is eligible at tight end. And then the other thing is just whoever the cheapest San Francisco running back is this week on your waiver wire could be Jordan Mason, could be Tyrion Davis Price, probably not going to be Jeff Wilson Jr. He's probably going to command a good amount of free agent bucks, but just you never know with a 49ers running back, kind of like the Patriots running back, you always just take the cheapest one. So two reminders as you head to the waivers this week.
You know, you never really know somebody's character, and I think that goes without saying because we don't know people all that well, but it is sort of stunning to me that, you know, some of the wealthiest people in the world make some of the dumbest decisions possible. We saw this with Donald Sterling when he owned the Los Angeles Clippers. Now we have this owner of the Phoenix Suns. Of course, we have the owner of the Washington Commanders, Dan Snyder. Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, suspended. Like, these are the smartest, richest people in the world doing the dumbest things and getting caught doing them. Like, it's hard to fathom having the kind of money that these owners have and not thinking through like proper procedure, even if you are some sort of bad person, to not like protect yourself in these situations. Blows my mind here. Happened again yesterday with the owner of the Phoenix Suns. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Thanks to our friends at LTN, of course, our graphics department, And for my producer, Brett Levy, co-host Davis Matic, I'm Craig Mish. We got the early line coming up next. Then 2 o'clock Newswire, 3 o'clock Scott Burrell. Until then, have a great day, everyone.